Such a powerful presence of God in this place tonight. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. This is what we're going to do, okay? We're going to take... And if it's all right with you folks, I want to take the final message of this series, and I want to push that to Wednesday night, okay? And we have a communion service that was going to be the conclusion of the message tonight. And I just want to start right in on that because I want to do something a little different. Not just to be different, but something I've just really just felt was kind of a God directive. So if you could just be seated. We'll keep this spirit of a prayer. It's going to lead right into our communion. Look at communion. Communion is such a very important part of our walk with God. And it can be a ritual. Not everything that's a ritual is bad. Okay? Not everything that we do that's traditional is a bad thing. It's when you get stuck in traditions, vain traditions, and rituals that are vain rituals. But communion is a chance for us as an individual to take and reflect inwardly. It's a time of self-check. And there are questions that I feel that, and I used to be afraid of communion. I used to think that I was not good enough for communion because maybe I sinned. Maybe you think that way tonight. Well, I'm not going to take communion because I'm just a sinner. If that was the case, then we would never take it. Now, it is also, I believe wholeheartedly, that if you're actively sinning and you're refusing to give that particular sin up, then maybe you do need a little bit more of a self-check. You need to examine yourself. So some questions that we may need to ask ourselves tonight. First question is, who am I? Who am I? I'm not asking you, but who you are according to your driver's license or your social security number. I'm just asking you, who are you? Who are you? What are you doing in life? Talking to Brother Hawk just a few minutes when we were on our break there, He was talking and saying it seemed like just yesterday he was 20 years old. Now he's approaching 70 or just had his 70th birthday. And he's like, man, has time gone by and so many things in my life I thought that I would accomplish and do, and I realized that I'm probably not going to be able to accomplish all of that before I die. Then he jokingly asked if I would conduct his funeral, and I said no. I said, because we're going up together. Then I told him to drive defensively. What am I doing? What is my spiritual temperament? We talked a little bit about this morning. What is my spiritual temperament? What's my spiritual temperature? Am I cold? Am I medium, lukewarm? Some things are best served cold. Some things are better served hot. Not too many things. Lukewarm coffee's not very good. Lukewarm soup. A lukewarm grilled cheese sandwich. Ice cream, you want that nice and cold. My wife made some Dorita casserole the other night, and that is best served piping hot. Food made its way in again. You know, I begin to read the communion, the verses that we start normally reading in communion, and I begin to look at this. I begin to go back and look at Paul's thought process as it related to communion. And there's some things in here, I gotta be honest with you, I didn't even realize were there, because I've never started where Paul began his conversation. We do that a lot. I'm not saying we cherry pick scriptures, but you know, we'll do a communion service and we'll read what pertains to communion. We don't pick up what's before and what's after, which is puts the whole thought process of why Paul said what he said into context. So we're going to step back just a few verses tonight. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. We're going to read all the way through 34. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now you read that and you think, what is he talking about? For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that ye which are approved may be manifest among you. So here Paul is talking here, and he's declaring, you can go ahead and have just a seat for a minute, Brother Kirby. Paul is declaring, he says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. He's saying, I'm not going to give you any type of praise that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I kind of believe some of that. So here he's talking to the church in Corinth, the Corinthians. And he says, you know, there's some problems here that need to be taken care of. There's heresies among you. People preaching, teaching, believing, spreading around whatever wind of doctrine, things that maybe are not scriptural, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before either his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. Then he says, what? Now, this is kind of a typical pattern of Paul's writing, because he will mention something and then he will say, what? As in, where did all of this come from, or how did all of this happen? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Question mark. Shall I praise you in this? Question mark. I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. So see, they were having communion, but they were doing communion in a much different manner. They had lost some of the respect for what communion really was. They were going a bit overboard with their communion. Paul reminds them, he says, and when he gave given thanks, he break it. He's referencing Jesus and the Last Supper. He break it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This ye do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So this whole communion thing, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, do ye show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whatsoever ye shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For the longest time I thought, boy, if I take communion and I'm not worthy, God's going to strike me dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Did you just get that? But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brother, when we come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may come not together under condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now this passage in its entirety has really challenged me. And I began thinking about this. I was thinking about the blood. About the blood that Jesus shed. I was thinking about his body and how his body was broken on Calvary for you and I. Begin to think about the blood and how it relates to the cup. When you look at that, when Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, he had not yet been crucified. There was not actual blood in that cup. It was the fruit of the vine. There was a fruit in that cup. And we're assuming, making a presumption, that that was probably of grape substance. Now understand, there can only be one blood that was shed for the sins of the world. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. So that night when Jesus had his Last Supper and they took that cup and were drinking of that fruit of the vine, that was symbolic of what was to come because it had not yet taken place. And I began to think about the body. You see, it was the body of Jesus Christ that was broken. And the body, when we read in Scripture, it represents the bread. And the bread is broken, and we partake of that bread, that broken body. Yet when we look at this in relation to the cup. In the cup is but one fruit. That's it. One single ingredient is in that cup. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ, or the fruit of the vine. I begin to think about bread. Brother Kirby brought out here a selection, if you'd like to just come down here and stand. Begin to think about the bread. I want to thank the ladies too, Sister Karen and Sister Anderson, that put together our communion every time we have communion. Thank you so very much for you ladies that do this. Now you're going to have to follow along with me on this, Brother Kirby. I have here, thanks to Sister Brittany, a whole plethora of bread. We have some flat bread. There's some garlic bread over here because I can smell it. Then we have French bread. The French, they like their bread long, slender loaves. You get a really good bargain if you get a French submarine sandwich because you get the whole loaf. We've got some Italian breads here. There's some raisin and some walnut breads. There's all different kinds. Some Asiago, is that how you say that? All you cooks out there? Asiago. Thank you, sir, chef. Asiago bread with some oat nut on it. I don't know what this is here, but you could probably play a few rounds of football with it. This one over here is beautiful. You put some butter on that. Put that on the table, some temperature. Begin to think about these breads, all right? You got to follow me here, brother. Yeah, you don't have to go right so close, okay? Now, we all share one thing in common, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Another thing we share is his body, because we are the body of Christ. Every last one of us is one of these types of bread. Because there's all different variety. There's only one type of fruit in the cup. But breads, speaking of breads, is a bit more diversified. We have here, as I said, a number of different breads. And when I look at the congregation, these breads can represent you and I. They all have one common ingredient, and that's the body of Christ, because we're all part of the body. But we're as diversified as a body as we are as a bread. I just want to talk for a few minutes on this, because sometimes I feel like what goes on out there in the world makes its way into here, because we live in the world. We don't live here. We come here to worship. I look here and everybody is so different. We have right here, we have our folks here that are hearing impaired. They can't hear this message tonight. It's being interpreted through Sister Amy. I have to be honest with these folks here. I don't know how to relate to the world that they live in, because I don't live in that world. Okay? Doesn't mean I can't be their friend. Doesn't mean I can't hug their neck. I can't love them. But I don't live in their world. And I don't mean that to be offensive, because you know what? I could come over here and Sister Dara, she's Hispanic. You're in here somewhere, hon. One of those breads is you. I can't say that you better watch it, because I'm coming to you next. I can't say that I relate to everything and every issue that she's ever had to face in her life. Some of you have gone through some things that color has absolutely nothing to do with that I could never relate to. And sometimes we look at this and we think that because we're in the body of Christ that everybody has to love everybody and understand everything that everyone is going through. But it's not that way. It's not that way. You folks came from out east. They got a different way of thinking out east. I'm not saying that's bad. I came from Texas. They got a different way of thinking in Texas. Just ask them. We have people that come from rural settings, live in the country. I've lived in the country for, I don't know, 30 plus years. It's different than living in the city. I can't say I relate to Ben and Stephanie that live in Marshall and they have the bike paths. They can run right down to the library, all of these things that a city has. But that just because I don't live there doesn't mean that I can't fellowship and talk with them. Doesn't mean I can't try to understand. We look at families and we look at a family. We're going to move over here a little bit, Brother Kirby. I look at families and you can say, well, you know, families can relate. Really? Some of the biggest arguments that I've ever got involved with in my life have been in family. We just came through Thanksgiving and we just came through Christmas. Did anybody here have arguments at the dinner table? Before the gifts were opened, did your mother stand up and say, would you please stop arguing? When we had Christmas, I felt sorry for my parents sometimes because it was just a knockdown drag out when we were younger. Now we've gotten older, a bit more mature, less energy to argue. Less things to argue about because now you don't really care. But some of the worst fights I've ever had to referee have been between a husband and a wife, and they're supposed to be loving each other under a covenant from God till death do you part. And then the same people can say, well, I can't relate to brother. I can't relate to brother here. He lives on Allied Drive. Near Allied? No? Kind of near? A mile away? Okay. Tonight you live on Allied Drive, okay? Don't mess with my... All right? Doesn't mean that I can't love them. Brother J. Henry here. Young African-American man. He's single, by the way, too. Got a degree, engineer. Now I could look at this. I'm just being totally me tonight, if that's all right. I could look at Brother Jay and say, I can't relate to him because he's black. You know what? I can't relate to him because he's an engineer and I'm not. We got some other engineers in here. Peter Sandin's an engineer. Shane Mackey's an engineer. They start talking and I just slowly back out. And walk away because you know why? They're above my head. But they're all part of the body of Christ. We're all part of that body. And we laugh about this because it used to be this way that, you know, blacks didn't marry whites and Hispanics didn't marry whites or black. I mean, it's the way society was. It's just the way it was. That's a fact. I mean, you can't try to hide it. I remember when Nene married my nephew, Kyle. We love Nene. She's a sweetheart. But you know, when we get and talk about this, well, you know, I can't relate to that person. I can relate to Nene better than I could relate to someone from Austria. Think about this. We'd say, well, you know, they're really not compatible because he's white, she's black, so that's... Wait a minute here. They grew up together. They went to the same schools together. They lived in the same neighborhoods together. I just can't relate. We were at lunch today, and I found out our waitress was from Sylvania. I thought Transylvania is what went into my mind. And I'm like, don't order the tomato juice here. We ran into Rick and Linda. They were there. And I began to think about this. And we had more difficulty communicating with our waitresses today. It wasn't because they're from Sylvania and we're from Midwest. It was just a communication breakdown all around, I think, today. But I can relate to Nene a lot better than I could relate to that young gal, because most of the time she's speaking to her sister in a language that I have no idea what they're saying. They could be making fun of me for all I know. I don't know. I look at some of you here, your backgrounds and such, and I could use any excuse that I wanted as to why I can't relate. But the problem with that is we're all part of the body of Christ. You may be rye bread, you may be pumpernickel bread, you may be flat bread, bruschetta, French bread, bruschetta. I get corrected on. You want to preach the rest of this, Brother Kirby? It doesn't matter, because all of these breads have one common ingredient. And that is that every last one of us, we are the body of Christ. Members in particular. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had to eat rye bread every day on my peanut butter sandwich, at some point in time, I may say, I don't want rye bread anymore. Doesn't mean I don't like rye bread. It just means I don't like rye bread with my peanut butter. It goes really good with Swiss cheese and ham. How many of you ever had a Reuben sandwich? Yeah, you know what it tastes like then. It's just peanut butter doesn't fit in that mix. So sometimes we may say, you know what? I don't like something. I don't like this. It doesn't have anything to do with where you fit in this basket. I don't like liver. It don't matter if your national food is liver. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I won't eat it. You say, you're going to offend me? I'm going to politely say, if you want me to regurgitate on your table, then I will eat it. I will force myself to eat it. Doesn't mean I don't like you. Doesn't mean I don't like your liver recipe. I just don't like any liver recipe. Some of you are that way with what you eat. Doesn't matter. I don't like it. I just don't. Doesn't mean I don't like you as a person. And so many times we take these offenses because somebody doesn't like something, and we try to take and personalize it with where we are in this basket. And it really has very little to do with that. Guys, I don't drive a Ford truck because I'm a Chevy man, okay? You Dodge guys, I don't care what you do. You're always broke down. So you understand what I'm talking about here. How many of you still love me here? How many of you understand what I'm trying to say here? We're talking about if we're going, you can have a seat now, Kirby. Let's give Kirby a hand. Thank you so much. You're going to come up here tonight, you're going to look at this, and you're going to say, you mean you're going to give us these little tiny oyster crackers, and we could, well, unfortunately, no, we'll go with this, but that looks really good, doesn't it? See, we're all part of his body. We're all members in particular, and that's what makes this body so unique, and it's what makes this body so powerful. And if we are to be a model of what Jesus Christ's church is to look like on this earth, then if we can't get it right in here, then it's never going to be right out there. Understand something. God is the one that formed the nations. Man didn't do that. God did that at the Tower of Babel. He gave all, he realized that mankind would accomplish anything they set their minds to accomplish. And God says, the only way I can fix this is I got to put some barriers in the way. So he put a language barrier in the way. Now people say, well, you know, he put that language barrier. It was language. They all looked the same at that time. Wasn't until later that races began to come into effect as the world began to populate and we broke down into tribes. Listen, you can have nations of the same color killing the nation, their fellow countrymen. You look at the situation where over in Serbia and Bosnia and Kosovo and all of that region back 15, 20 years ago. We look at Africa today. There's countries that are talked with Brother Forkpaw recently in Liberia. He's looking to go back to Liberia, and there's a civil war breaking out again. It's not a result of color. It's a result of sin. Of man leaving and refusing to live by rules and oracles that God set in place for humanity. The Ten Commandments never expire. Period. Doesn't matter because they're laws that we need to live by. And we need to live by them in here, and we need to live by them out there. Because the only example out there is going to see. If they come in here, I have the more and more people come into this church and say, I can't believe so many different people, so many, such diversification, and everybody's talking to everybody. I think that's awesome. You know why I think that's awesome? Because what it is, it's a direct reflection on us living out that we are his body. We're all different. We're all different breads, but we're all part of him. We all have that one common ingredient. So as we enter into this communion tonight, I want you to think about what we just talked about. If our ushers can come and the ministers that we're going to assist in our communion. Brother Kirby, you can just go have a seat over on the side. Somebody might try to steal your bread tonight and come up here. I want to thank Brother Ward Meyer for organizing this. What we're going to do here, folks, is we're going to have a group of two ushers, ministers right over here. And then we'll have two here, and two over here. Okay? And what we're going to do is when you come up for communion, bring your purse with you, ladies, and make sure you come. So we're not going to do this just yet, but we'll stand up the first row, second row. Well, this is all stand, and then you'll come by. Why don't you gentlemen just move a little bit further, closer out this way? Maybe you two can move a little closer there. The two of you more in the center. Oh, we got an odd one here? There we go. There, not an odd one. I just missed one. His parents might agree with that, but I'm just messing with you, Nolan. And then we have our two over here. Okay. So we don't bottleneck here tonight. Before we start here, I just want everyone to stand, and we're going to pray. And then after you're finished getting your communion, I want you to go back, find a spot. If you want to find a spot at the altar, go back to your seat. I want you to search your heart. a little bit of a self-check here tonight. God is so awesome and so forgiving. I don't want anyone not to take communion because they feel like they're not worthy. This is an incredible opportunity to share with each and every, with our brothers and our sisters, as well as with Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather here with my brothers and sisters. God, as I said, I, as much as I would desire to relate to every one of them in their plight, Lord, in life, I just simply don't have the ability to do that, God, but you do. Lord, you can read the minds of every one of us, Lord. I don't have that ability. I pray, Lord, as we contemplate, Lord, your blood, Lord, the precious blood was shed. God, without the shedding of this blood, Lord, we would forever be trapped in our sin. I thank you, Lord, for coming to this earth. We just came through the Christmas season, Lord, coming to this earth, Lord, in a form of a baby. The great God of glory subjecting himself to humanity, Lord. And I thank you, God, for what you did. I thank you, Lord, for shedding your royal blood on that horrible cross for us, for me. I thank you, Lord, that as your body was broken, God, your body was broken, Lord, for me, for the healing of the nations. Lord, as I look across, as we, this body here in Madison, God, we have such an incredible church here, and I thank you, Lord, for every member that is here, and I pray, God, that you would take us into this next year, Lord. Take us places, God, that you desire us to go. I also understand, Lord, that we're going to have to leave some things behind. We can't take everything. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon us, Lord. If there's any sin, Lord, that we have not asked forgiveness, Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us tonight to find that place of forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In your name, Lord, we pray, amen. Amen. So now, if you would like to just come, we'll start with the front row here. If you could just come by and just kind of walk right back around the front row there. We'll let them go. And then when they're completed, the second row, same thing here. With this, we can all start doing this at the same time. Each section, just come down and then go right back to your row. You can end up right back where you started there. Now the middle sections have a little bit more in them. So when this section is completed, this middle section here, feel free to just branch off and come right over to here, okay? If you could just play, Sister Abby, thank you. It's an honor to be able to partake of communion here tonight. We serve such a wonderful, wonderful God. We have such awesome brothers and sisters. But that wouldn't be possible without an awesome Father. Praise your name, Jesus. Jesus. Feel free at any time to sit down, spend some time alone with the Lord. This is at whatever time you think or you're ready to take your own communion, just feel free to partake of that. Thank you. The ushers are making their way around to collect the juice cups there. Just lift our hands. Can we do that? Just lift our hands and let's just thank the Lord for His grace, His mercy that He extends. We serve an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us unconditionally, God. So many times, Lord, I've been so undeserving. Just raise the house lights. One more thing I'd just like to do before we leave the sanctuary here tonight. We have 4 hours of fellowship. Most of you will probably be going home at midnight or perhaps shortly thereafter. Some of you feel free if you just want to eat and hang out for a little bit and take off. I understand that. It's cold outside. Just pray that you travel safe. A lot of crazies out there on the road on New Year's Eve. But you know, sometimes we can go. You can come to church and months can go by before we get an opportunity to really sit down and talk to a brother or sister. That's one of the most frustrating things that I deal with, because there's so many people I just love to just sit down and just talk with. And that's what tonight is designed for. Sit down. Enjoy some fellowship, some food, and just hang out and talk. Get involved in a dominoes game or Monopoly if you're Monopoly or Scrabble. I know there'll probably be some of you playing Euchre. That's all right. If the district board can play Euchre, we can play Euchre, okay? I was so happy when Brother Herman and Sister Herman one night, we were at a board meeting and they're like, "What are you guys doing after this?" I'm like, "Man, I don't know. You guys play Euchre? Is that allowed here on the board?" "Yeah." If you've never played Euchre, you can learn. Okay. But we could just stand. Before we head over there, I'm just going to pray for the food collectively. I think Sister Brittany, I think the pizzas are coming shortly after 8. They've got everything set up. And if you are hyphen age and you are staying late tonight, if you could just help with cleaning the building up, getting things a little bit somewhat presentable for Tuesday morning. Parents, keep an eye on your children. Okay? It's cold outside. Keep them indoors. But after we pray, while we're still in a very prayerful mood here, I just want our brothers, just go to a brother, somebody that you haven't hug their neck in a long time. Just give them a hug and tell them how much you love and appreciate them. And before we do that, let's pray for the pizza. We're never going to get that prayer done, okay? Everybody just freeze. Simon says stop. There we go. We got one over here that, there you go. Let's pray for the pizza. All right, Lord, we thank you for this pizza. Thank you, Lord, for this fellowship, for the cookies, the desserts, the Mountain Dew, Coke, whatever we're drinking. We thank you, Lord, for this. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, let's shake hands one with another. God bless you.